Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Bring in subject matter experience and advisors to conduct a thorough review of how the contract can be restructured to provide greater community transparency and more flexibility for true reform.
All right, that is the police chief in Minneapolis talking about reform rather than defund, but that city council is pushing forward and trying to make that become a reality and getting rid of the cops. Lots of opinions around this nation about policing and policies and defunding or sticking with what you got and figuring it out and reforming it, as this police chief says. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, thanks so much for hanging with us. And, of course, people are now looking at the conversations surrounding the spread of COVID-19 in Arizona. Pretty scary what's happening there. I have a lot of pals that live there. We're on a very big station in Tucson, Arizona, and some other nooks and crannies, too, as well. And for our friends in Arizona, we feel you because everybody's still trying to navigate what's happening and what's working or what happened to cause this flare-up, and they're calling them hot spots. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about George Floyd and more of the 16, 17 days later, the peaceful protests, and the white, black, and all kinds of people coming together, no matter what their ethnic background is, and a lot of young people that are demanding change. And so we're seeing, honestly, the true push of what America is about, the fact that you have the right to protest, but keeping it peaceful versus some of what we've seen in this 17-day period. So first, at the top, as far as COVID-19 is concerned, 115,000 deaths, 607,000 people have recovered. There have been over 2 million cases worldwide, because I like to throw this in, over 400,000 deaths confirmed, 7.4 million. So that's where we're at. The biggest as I said, the biggest, I guess, scare that we're having is in trying to reopen and having phases that are working in some areas and social distancing that's working while the economy is still trying to get its footing right, where there's still so many people unemployed and waiting for unemployment checks or stimulus checks that still haven't come in. There are the problems in Arizona, and they're raising the alarm bells about the COVID-19 situation. And why is that? It's always about the hospitalizations and the cases, because they've increased in the last 2 weeks. And what health officials there are saying is it's not just the testing in Arizona, because that's what we look at. You know, oh, now there's tests. So, of course, the number goes up. They're saying that they're concerned that there needs to be another. Some are saying there needs to be another stay-at-home order to curb the spread, that the only sort of thing that works, and not sort of, the only thing that seems to work and crash a trajectory is to do the whole stay-at-home thing. So the largest hospital system in Arizona warned over the past 2 weeks that their intensive care units are filling up, ventilator use on the rise, capacity reached. And they've seen that steady climb, and the trend is concerning and correlates with the rise in cases that they're seeing at the hospital's ICUs. And they expected they might see some, but not some of the spikes that they're seeing. And it's not just one or two localized outbreaks that they're looking for action, because they're, again, concerned about where they're headed, and are they ready to activate other areas if they have to, right? Because the stay-at-home order ended on May 15th. Wow. So, again, there are three state warnings that they issued, and Arizona was on the list, Arkansas and Utah also on the list. When you see the red, when you see the map flare up, and I call it the red flare up, that you see it. And Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, said just the other day during one of his briefings that, you know, Arizona and a few other states offer a cautionary tale, that it looks like it's okay, but it could be a powder keg of transmissions. It becomes a chain because that goes to the tracing. And once the stay-at-home order expires, what are people doing? And where is that spreading, right? Again, it's this elusive monster that we're fighting, and we know that. And that's the thing, because then you do go to some other areas. There was stay-at-home for March, April, May, and then in June, in these phased reopenings, it seems to be working, and they're not having flare-ups, but then there have been protests, more people coming together. There was Memorial Day weekend, more people coming together. And it's that balance of how do you reopen? How do we do it safely? I'm seeing more social distancing, but more reopenings. Patios, the amount of people that are in a restaurant, for example, 50%, 75% in some cases, but it just depends on what that looks like. And I think, once again, it's going to go from place to place. And there's, again, no one size fits all. We're looking for that, but it just doesn't compute. Just like police departments and saying, well, if Minneapolis defunds, how many others are going to fall as well? And I don't think that's the question to ask. It's what can we do to get bad cops off the force? How do you weed out those that are racist, those that are not good police officers, period? How do you weed them out and do it now? And how do you restore the faith with the community that we got some good people? We're working this. We're changing it. We want this to come together to have the safest situation for everybody. So if you look at the situation of George Floyd's death, like I said, it's been 16 plus days. One of the four officers charged in connection with his death on Memorial Day in Minneapolis posted bail, was released from jail on Wednesday. Thomas Lane, charged with aiding and abetting second-degree murder, is scheduled to be in court later this month. His attorney said he's going to file a motion to dismiss the charges. Floyd's brother was in Washington, D.C., calling on Congress to make police more accountable. And not too far from where he was testifying, you had crews that were dissembling some of the temporary security fencing installed around the White House last week because of the protests that were happening day after day after day. And then if you look at what's happened because of this call for defunding police and everybody examining things closer, even the Los Angeles Police Department, they've launched 56 investigations into complaints of officer misconduct during protests in the second largest city that we have in the nation. Her story coming up next, and some odds and ends. I'll meet you there.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited. This is a pandemic survival alert, and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone, or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM. The first female chief scientist of the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. I'm Kate Delaney, and this is her story.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
Sylvia Earle is a marine biologist, explorer, author, and lecturer, and has been National Geographic's explorer in residence since 1998. In 1990, she became the chief scientist at NOAA, where her expertise on the impact of oil spills was handy. She led several research trips into the Persian Gulf War to look at the environmental damage caused by Iraq's destruction of Kuwaiti oil wells. Time magazine named Earle as its first hero for the planet in 1998. Now at 85 years old, she's part of a group called the Ocean Elders, dedicated to protecting the ocean and its wildlife. I'm Kate Delaney, and that's her story. It's so interesting hearing about Sylvia Earle when there was a big story today about a former NASA astronaut, Catherine Sullivan. The first American woman to walk in space is now the first woman to reach the deepest point in the ocean. It had been Cynthia Earle was one of the first people to do that, where, boy, she had that straight dive down and talked about the suit that she was wearing. And the details of that just in the 70s just made you say, wow, that's incredible. But now fast forward to Sullivan, and she's a veteran of three space shuttle flights, and she's the first to do both of those feats. I mean, you got to figure she's got to be a junkie for that adrenaline. She did a 7-mile dive to Challenger Deep in the Mariana Trench, is what they call it, at the, you know, and the her colleagues at the International Space Station. Think about that. That's in orbit 254 miles above Earth. So what an extraordinary thing that she was able to do that. Walk in space in the 1984 mission, and then she becomes an administrator at NOAA, and then she goes to the deepest point in the ocean, in the Western Pacific Ocean, and I can't imagine that. I can't imagine what that would be like. She also piloted the limiting factor on a dive to the Titanic and became the fourth person to reach what they call Challenger depth last year. I mean, again, some kind of nerves to be able to do that. Only 8 people in the world have reached the bottom of Challenger deep, right? To get all the way to the bottom, but she did it, so good for her. And it just made me think of, it's interesting, you go to where we are now, and you're talking about 10,928 meters, and then you look back at what you just heard, the story of Sylvia Earle. And we do our Her Story features, and it's really been cool to see some of the amazing accomplishments of women, that some of them that you may never have heard of in a history. So odds and ends is where we're at for this segment. Coming up, a conversation with somebody who fended off a killer at a Navy yard, a famous story, sadly, that happened, and we'll introduce you to her. But before we go there again, this is Odds and Ends. So what's happening around the nation, around the world, perhaps, that you need to know about? And I'll tell you, one of the things that really popped up on my radar today, I used to live in Morro Bay, California, and in Paso Robles, which is how you pronounce it. I'm watching national people call it something else. But there was a shooting that was an ambush, a gunman that wanted to harm or kill police, they think. And he decided, this gunman, that he was also apparently going to take somebody else out. And this is the central coast of California, where it's, you know, wineries and peaceful, and, you know, normally you wouldn't see that. But they've identified the suspect, and there's a manhunt underway for him. A deputy was shot in that attack, and like I said, it's known for its wineries and olive groves, and just usually not something you're talking about. And now you wonder, you know, was this a targeted thing or what, because of some of the conversations about police, and that's what the sheriff is saying there. But a sheriff's deputy was shot when a man opened fire outside the police station. And what they're saying, the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff Ian Parkinson said, "We feel that this was an ambush and he planned it, that he intended for officers to come out of the police department and he wanted to assault them. So he started firing at police cars at about, you know, 3 a.m. and, you know, as they were going into the downtown area and at the station. And the officer who was hit was shot in the head. He's in serious but stable condition." So the good news is that he's in stable condition. And then hours after the shooting, they found the body of another man near an Amtrak station in the city, and he was shot in the head at close proximity. So they think that those two things are related. You know, and this is the fear of some police departments from my conversations, that let's not have, like, targets. Let's not have... It's one thing to protest. It's one thing to have anger bubble over. It's one thing to look at some heinous things that have happened and now have these investigations into departments for things that have happened in the past. It's another thing to have somebody, some whack job, decide, okay, let's just go after the cops. Let's just a shooting at police. And in Paso Robles, they believe that the deputy that was shot in the head, that absolutely was an ambush. Another sad story in Odds and Ends. We had seen the faces of these two kids for a while now. The husband in the missing Idaho kids case hid remains of the children, according to a prosecutor. So the prosecutor said that the human remains that were found on the property of Chad Daybell are the remains of the kids, Joshua Vallow and Tylee Ryan. And they haven't confirmed the identities, but they believe they are human remains, believe they're them. They had a search warrant for the Daybell house. As you're listening to me talk about it, they're saying, what is she talking about? This was a huge story, and the kids have been missing since September. They've been missing. So he was arrested on suspicion of concealing, alerting, or destroying evidence, and it's this latest twist in the bizarre case that made certainly national news that spanned multiple states, suspicious death investigations, and allegations of occult-like religious beliefs that are part of this. And Daybell is the new husband of Lori Vallow, the mother of these kids, who was arrested in February in Hawaii after she failed to meet a court-ordered deadline to bring her children to authorities in Idaho. So Vallow pled not guilty to child abandonment and other charges and is in custody. And the last time they saw these kids, it was in September, way back in September, last September, in school, in photos from a family visit to Yellowstone National Park earlier in that month. And then that was it. So there were a lot of searches and a lot of conversations about how did this happen, what happened, and who is this Chad Daybell? And what is his role in this? And his new wife is Lori Vallow, and they were both persons of interest in it, and that's why, you know, they were ultimately, she was anyway, picked up in Hawaii. So stay tuned for more sordid details on that horrific crime, vile crime, certainly that happened. It is coming up Loving Day. Do you know what Loving Day is? Loving Day is the anniversary of the Supreme Court striking down state bans on interracial marriages, because did you know they existed? And that happened on June 12th, 1967. I had no idea. Someone sent me a link to it, and it, you know, so it's been, what, 5 decades since that decision. And in if you go back to what happened, there was a couple, and the reason they call it Loving Day is because this couple traveled to D.C. to get married and then came back to Virginia, and they were woken up in the middle of the night by policemen who informed them they were breaking the law.
Wow.
All right, stay with us. I'll meet you on the other side.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
During emotional testimony, George Floyd's brother asked lawmakers to ensure his brother didn't die in vain.
Honor George and make the necessary changes that make law enforcement the solution. And not the problem.
Philanice Floyd says he saw the video from Minneapolis.
Maybe by speaking with you today, I can make sure that his death would not be in vain. To make sure that he is more than another face on a T-shirt, more than another name on a list that won't stop growing.
He appeared before the House Judiciary Committee. Gerald Nadler is the committee chair.
Millions of Americans now call out, "I can't breathe," as a rallying cry in streets all across our country, demanding a fundamental change in the culture of law enforcement and meaningful accountability for officers who commit misconduct.
This is USA Radio News. It was a big step announced by Police Chief Madaria Arredondo.
I am immediately withdrawing from the contract negotiations with the Minneapolis Police Federation.
He's planning for transformation reforms in the department following the death of George Floyd in the hands of several officers. He plans to introduce a new system that uses real-time data to pinpoint possible behavioral problems.
Integrate new systems that use research on police behavior to connect officer performance data so department leaders can identify early warning signs of misconduct.
Many states are now seeing a spike in coronavirus infections and a surge of cases filling up hospitals. Texas reports more than 2,000 people hospitalized, a record high. Arkansas hit a record as well. And in Arizona, officials are urging hospitals to activate emergency plans. Some hospitals are already at capacity. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
About the Navy Yard shooting. My mother worked for the Navy in Philadelphia, and when what unfolded not too far from Philly, you know, outside of the nation's capital, everybody went into sort of a silent prayer and panic mode and everything else. Imagine living through that. So Laurel Myers joins us. She's written a book called Healing After the Navy Yard Shooting, One Survivor's Story of Her Struggle to Return to a Normal Life. And she's the subject of our Author's Corner. Laurel, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So take us back to that moment. You were there, and there was so much nonsense that came out afterwards, and misinformation, and, oh, what he had done, and et cetera. But you were there. You were in the middle of that.
I was. I was on the same floor, just a row of offices between his area and my area. And I guess you call it stupidly, but I automatically picked up the phone and dialed 911, so I was on the phone with 911 the whole time.
One of the things that you learned, I'm jumping in here for a second, one of the things you learned is that you had people around you that were, like, what do you think, your first instincts? You're on the phone with 911. How are you keeping quiet, and what are you doing to hide or keep yourself covered?
Oh, I had a cubicle with some vertical files in the back of it, and I ducked down in between the two vertical files and pulled my nice black office chair in front of me and my black briefcase piled in front of that in the bottom of the chair. So I was in the shadows, but I had the phone line down with me, and the office phone, and the whole time I was talking to the operator, I made sure that I couldn't hear him nearby, hear him or feel him. And the one time that he did come by, you could feel him there because the building was originally built for building the 16-inch guns that were to go on battleships. And the cranes were still there, the cranes that held the guns that were being built. And all they did was put in suspended floors. So we had five floors of that were suspended from in the building. And I was on the fourth floor where this all started. And I could, you could feel the footfalls of people walking by. So knowing that there was no one else nearby and feeling the footfalls of this heavy person walking behind me, I told the operator that I was not going to talk to her and because I feared that he would hear my voice. And I didn't want her to talk to me because I feared that he would hear her voice. Mm-hmm. And he stood behind me in the cubicle behind me and walked and paced back and forth and stood. And then you could feel when he changed his weight from one foot to the other. And I was so afraid that he would hear me, or I was afraid to breathe even because he would hear me. And the walls of the cubicle are just material. They're no protection. And if he heard me, he would shoot through the wall, and that would be it for me. So I put the phone down, and put it down facing the floor so that she, if she did talk, it would be to the floor, not to me. And the entire time he was there, I just did not speak and almost did not breathe. And then as I felt him walking away, I finally had the nerve to pick up the phone again and let her know that we could talk again. That is the closest he got to me.
Wow. Wow. So you come out of this, and as I said, the title of your book, Healing After the Navy Yard Shooting, One Survivor's Story of Her Struggle to Return to a Normal Life. How do you return to a normal life after that?
Still working on it.
Wow.
I was seeing a couple of psychologists for a while there, and a psychiatrist and a therapist. And, one by one, we dropped them off, and I got down to one psychiatrist and one psychologist for 5 years. And it came to the point where both the psychiatrist and psychologist wanted me to go back, when we opened the building again, go back into the fourth floor where he had gone, and the now new remembrance area and in our old cubicle area. So I made use of the chaplain that they had there, and I talked to him about it. And at first I felt that God had abandoned me. And I told the chaplain this, and figuring he would, chastise me for this. And he said, no, the chaplain was Jewish, and he had his culture had gone through the Holocaust. And I said, how do you do this? And he said, he gets up every day and he prays. And I said, I can't do that. And he said, it won't happen. And so he assigned me to go through one of those areas. And I said, I can't do that unless I can talk to you afterwards. And he said, no problem. Call me when you're going to do it, and I'll set time aside. So we did this. And he assigned me to read two books by two different people who had lived through the Holocaust and had written about the same feelings I was going through. And once I had read them, I thought, well, I hadn't gone through the Holocaust. I'd gone through a shooting. I hadn't lived through years of being treated the way those victims were treated. And so I started comparing my feelings against their feelings. And the chaplain said, okay, I think you need to write a book. So he goes, fine, I need to write a book. I said, okay. And as I went through the different areas, I began to feel, well, God didn't abandon me. He abandoned us, all of us, those who died, those who were affected, just the whole building. And then I began to find myself saying their prayers, just as two writers of those books had found themselves saying prayers. And over a period of years, I started going back to church. My husband asked me to go to church with him, and I said, oh, okay. But I didn't sing. I didn't even listen. I just went with him because he asked. And slowly but surely, I started participating again in church. And now I find that I am doing more praying. I am doing more of the singing in church. It just took a long time to work into this. Amazingly long time to work into this. And now I just found that God lets things happen and lets us work it out.
Wow, what a powerful story, and what happened there, and what he taught you, what the rabbi taught you. What do you hope people learn from reading your book? What do you hope they take away from it?
What happens to you happens for a reason that's unknown to us, and it's up to us to figure out what was the intent and what we're supposed to take away from it, and to learn from it, and to move on. And eventually, it may not seem like it right now, it's supposed to make us a more powerful person, a stronger person. And this is the part, I think, where I'm at now. It's I'm working on the being stronger part. Now, this shooting happened in 2013. This is 2020. And I'm finally getting to the part where I'm working on the being stronger. So it does take a long time.
In writing the book, as the rabbi told you, did it feel cathartic to you? Was it good to release all of that?
It was. It was good to compare. It felt very strange to have the same feeling that these two other people had, who had been through a lot more than me. I didn't feel like I deserved to have those feelings, because I didn't go through this huge, long, life-changing event that they went through. I went through a shooting. I had friends killed, and I still had that same feeling. I couldn't reconcile that, and I kept asking why, and that question didn't get answered. So I think it was the point of God lets you figure out why in your healing.
That's very powerful, and the book is powerful. And again, you can pick it up on Amazon or any place where great books are sold. Healing After the Navy Yard Shooting, One Survivor's Story of Her Struggle to Return to a Normal Life. Laurel Myers, thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you.
under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time, even after the lockdown is over, why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Attention gardeners, if you need to grow nutritionally dense vegetables or medicinal herbs this year, listen, because a bioactive superfood for plants is now available. This all-natural superfood for plants is so effective at producing maximum plant growth in minimum time that it almost forces plants to grow, even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's truly remarkable. Vegetables grow faster and contain more bioavailable vitamins and trace minerals. Plants that rarely bloom will flower constantly. Sickly plants become vibrantly alive. Medicinal herbs become super potent. Flowers become more vivid right before your very eyes. ProtoGrow also improves the taste quality of all your garden vegetables. That's because it's more than just an all-natural superfood for plants. It's a proprietary blend of bioactive sea nutrients that contain the basic building blocks of life itself, which is why ProtoGrow even renews your garden by increasing the microorganisms in the soil. Learn more at growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com. Get special pricing for network listeners right now at growlikecrazy.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
As we head to Author's Corner, our next guest is fascinating. I want to tell you a little bit about his background. He was an officer in the Royal Netherlands Air Force. He professionally, as an engineer too, later, was with the Royal Dutch Shell Group and 27 years with the DuPont Company. And you got to think about the travel between the U.S. and Europe, a ton of it for this man. And he's written such an interesting book. It's called Fate and Führer, and you all know how much I love history, and it falls right into that breadbasket, and for a very good reason, with provocative questions, I think, that make you think about culture, particularly the Roman culture, and what was left behind. So, John, thanks so much for joining us, John Egbers. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Tell me about the book. So for everybody listening, give me the broad scope of what the book's about.
Well, it is a story of a man who was rejected from his tribe on the continent and then in desperation goes to the crosses the channel to England and find over there a very diverse culture in which he tries to find his way but has a very difficult time to adjust because of the turmoil and the cultural diversion that was at the time in England. And the question that I found very interesting is why an advanced culture that the Romans had did not continue and they didn't build on it when the Romans left the British Isles.
And so what is the answer to that question? What did you find? And I know that's a big question and people have to read the book so they can really, really understand it. But just give us a thumbnail of that.
Well, the Romans, of course, were very advanced. And they, for instance, in Germany, in Bad Kreuznach, a Roman museum of a Roman villa that had 54,000 square feet, 50 rooms, beautiful heated floors. It was a magnificent building. And there were many of those also in England. And the Romans then left England because Emperor Honorius was afraid that he couldn't defend Rome anymore. They left England in a turmoil, and then actually many Romans had lived over there for 300 years, and they were in a very difficult position. And as I said before, I was questioned, why didn't they build up? Why did he go back to wattle huts when they had these tremendous infrastructures that the Romans actually developed?
Yeah, and it goes to culture and what happens, as you said, they were so advanced, and what was it that made some of that not move forward, which is such an intriguing question. And I know culture is important to you. You and I had an off-air conversation where we even talked about today the feeling that culture is declining, right? You feel that way.
Well, if you realize that it took about 1,000 years for the different cultures to mingle over in England. There were the Celtic tribes who were in England for many, many years before. Then you had the Romanized Britons, the Romans that left, that stayed over in England. And then there were the Angles, the Saxons, the Jutes, and the Frisians who entered also, and some Romans. And it points out that in a diverse society, which we have also in the United States, it is not very easy to integrate different cultures, and it takes time. It has to be done gradually by intermarriage and by getting used to each other. What I try to emphasize is that it takes time to integrate different cultures in a society.
Yeah. What do you hope people take away from reading Fate and Furor?
Well, in the first place, of course, it is a matter of interest in history. But the second part is very important to me, is to emphasize how very fortunate we are in our time to live in this time compared to the tremendous suffering and difficulties our ancestors had to deal with. I think we have to be more aware of how good we have it. Unfortunately, when the prosperous time come, we soon are going to assume that the prosperous time are the norm. And that's a little bit of the shadow side. But I hope that the book may contribute to a feeling that we are very lucky to live at this day and age.
Yeah, so it's interesting. And you've led an interesting life, and I touched on that in the beginning of this. And something else I found out about you is that you were knighted. What was it like to be knighted? How did that happen?
Well, I don't want to oversize it. It's an old European use to try to recognize people who have made a contribution. And I have very hard, during my lifetime, tried to promote transatlantic understanding. And that was recognized by someone who I greatly admired, which was the King Baudouin of Belgium.
Yeah, wow. And Belgium, you spent a lot of time in Belgium. You know, you spent some time in Europe. Do you have a favorite spot in Europe? Because, you know, people are ready for travel. So would you recommend Belgium?
Well, it's amazing that Belgium is not one of the countries that normally comes to mind when you think about Europe. However, I think Belgium is an amazing country, and Brussels is a really magnificent town. It is actually now the capital of Europe, and it has changed a lot. But Belgium as a country is multicultural. On the south side, people speak French. On the north side, people speak Dutch or Flemish. And they have found a way, as the people have in Switzerland, for instance, to live together and be united. They do that, as they are over in Switzerland also, by decentralization, by giving people great authority about their own environment. And I think that was the intentions of the founders of our country too, to unite independent states and not make one melting pot of it, because that will increase tensions between the cultures.
Right, to be able to be separate. Well, you know, there's always that argument about states' rights even versus federal government. We could talk about that all day long. And, of course, the uniqueness of each of the states, which then you compare to Europe. And it's interesting to look at, as you said, Switzerland and Belgium and talk about the cultures there. The book is called Fate and Fuhrer, and we're speaking with John Egbers. And John, I just wanted to mention this too in passing so everybody knows. You've written now 10 books, right?
Yes, I did. I'm working on two manuscripts. I consider myself very fortunate that it allows us in our retirement to do what we really wanted to do. After World War II, I studied engineering because that was the only possibility I had. Europe needed engineers for their reconstruction, and I was told you can come and study at the university, but you have to study engineering. But I really was never an engineer. So now I am retired. I can do what I really would like to do, and that's a wonderful way to live during retirement. It's also interesting to see how after World War One, the English and the French governments wanted to be sure that Germany never would rise again, and unfortunately that caused the emergence of a dictator and all the problems that came from it. After World War Two, there was a totally different attitude towards the former enemy and trying to put the country back on its feet with the Marshall Plan, which worked a lot better because the former enemies, Germany and Japan, are very prosperous countries now.
Yeah, boy, that's a great observation. You and I talked about that, too, as well. John, thank you so much. Fate and Fuhrer, you can get it on the Amazon.com or wherever good books are sold, of course. Thanks.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.